You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome to Aaron Mankey's Cabinet of Curiosities, a production of iHeartRadio and Grim and Mild.
Our world is full of the unexplainable. And if history is an open book, all of these amazing tales are right there on display, just waiting for us to explore. Welcome to the Cabinet of Curiosities. The New York City skyline is iconic. Its skyscrapers soaring over buildings of various sizes and time periods make the city both modern and timeless. For example, there's the Gothic Revival style of St. Patrick's Cathedral, the neo-Gothic architecture of the Woolworth Building, and the more clinical and angular style of the Citigroup Center, all of which contribute to New York's eclectic and striking visual image. But one building stands above them all. Not literally, of course. While it may have been the tallest building in the city and the world at one time, it has been surpassed by many others in the years since its completion. Still, few structures are as recognizable or as renowned as the Empire State Building. Built between March of 1930 and May of the following year, the Art Deco wonder rises to a towering 1,454 feet. Its impressive stature wouldn't be surpassed until the completion of the World Trade Center in 1973. The Empire State Building is located on 5th Avenue between 33rd and 34th Streets in Manhattan, just down the road from the famous Macy's department store. The American Society of Civil Engineers listed the Empire State Building as one of the seven wonders of the modern world. This is a designation shared by such structures as the Golden Gate Bridge and the Panama Canal, and for good reason. It has 102 stories and was the first building anywhere to cross the 100-floor threshold. Of those 102 floors, by the way, the first 85 are home to various offices and commercial entities. Take the elevator to the 86th floor, and you'll enter one of the building's two observation decks where you can look out over the city, take in its breathtaking views, and watch yellow cabs the size of ants drive up and down the street. The observatory today is surrounded by a giant metal fence measuring 8 feet high. Now, this fence was put in after numerous individuals either attempted to jump or succeeded in jumping from the 86th floor to the street below. The number of attempted suicides from the top of the Empire State Building had been growing, and something had to be done to stop people from ending their lives this way. People like Elvita Adams. It was 1979, and the 29-year-old Adams had been living in New York for some time with her 10-year-old son. She had recently lost her job, and her only income was her regular $100 welfare checks. They weren't enough to pay for her rent, her groceries, clothes, and everything else that she and her son needed to get by. With her landlord demanding the rent and nowhere else to turn, Elvita fell into a deep depression. She traveled from her apartment in the Bronx all the way to the 86th floor of the Empire State Building in Midtown. The fence had already been installed, and normally there would have been several guards patrolling the observatory at that hour. But somehow she'd gotten past all of them and jumped. Moments later, around 8:15 p.m., Elvita was discovered. Nobody screamed. The sidewalk surrounding the building was clear. No throngs of passersby had gathered around the place of impact because there wasn't any. Elvita Adams hadn't reached the bottom. Somehow, after she had jumped from the 86th floor, she landed 20 feet below onto a short ledge one floor down. A guard named George Reese found her in severe pain and called for an ambulance. She was taken to Bellevue Hospital, where doctors diagnosed her with a fractured pelvis. The police thought that she might have been pushed off the observation deck at first, but Elvita was adamant that she had done the jumping herself. No one else was involved. In a later interview, she said that she had gone up there to see the city lights. Compelled by their beauty, Elvita had tried to touch them by climbing the fence. She wound up on the 85th floor instead. But how exactly did she survive? After all, jumping off the side of the Empire State Building should have guaranteed her death, as it had so many times before her. According to the authorities on the scene, it was the wind that saved her. You see, gusts of wind at that height could have reached over 100 miles per hour, strong enough to blow her body back toward the building after she had jumped. It just so happened that the wind had carried her onto an open ledge, saving her life. Elvita supposedly went on to live into her 70s. Nobody really knows for sure, though, because she led a very private life in the aftermath of her fall. Rumor has it that she went into stand-up comedy sometime after the incident, though. And that makes a bit of sense. After all, many people use humor to get through the darkest moments of their life. Although, to be fair, what Elvita Adams experienced that night back in 1979 was no laughing matter. This episode is sponsored by Intuit. Here's a story for you. Once upon a time, a young woman was haunted by the ghosts of bad financial decisions, with credit card debt and an empty savings account looming over her every day. But when she tried to ignore these ghosts, they only grew bigger and scarier, and these ghosts of her bad financial decisions were stopping her from living her best life. So she decided to face them head on and take control of her finances with help from Intuit. Intuit helps you face your financial fears with confidence through products like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. Whether you're trying to manage your money or trying to run a business, Intuit gives you the confidence to take control of your finances so you can live your best life. Intuit is the financial platform that helps everyday people prosper. Intuit has helped 100 million people live their best financial lives. Visit Intuit.com, Intuit.com. to start living yours. Let's get into it.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all five of her best-selling products, including the amazing Youth Activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit Leesa.com/iHeart. That's Leesa.com/iHeart.
So much of humanity's evolution is the result of cross-pollinization of knowledge and experiences from different cultures. Today's entertainment, especially live theater, can trace its roots back to the ancient Greek dramas. Costumes, the use of satire, and special effects were all first witnessed in productions of Greek plays. Prehistoric objects, such as rocks and spears, eventually became the tools and weapons that we use today, like hammers and knives. Oftentimes, cultures are subsumed, or worse, obliterated by colonization, and their contributions are forgotten, even though those same contributions might be used by the groups that take over. Still, in many cases, time and exposure to other societies allow everyone to move ahead, little by little, improving what came before. except for the Sentinelle. Located in the Indian Ocean in the Bay of Bengal is a series of islands. They're called the Andaman Islands, and they have been inhabited for at least 60,000 years by different ethnic groups, including the Bamar, Jarawa, and the Ange. The native populations on several islands were all but wiped out during the 18th and 19th centuries when the British took them over and turned them into penal colonies. Many of these Andamanese were killed either for not cooperating or they died from foreign diseases brought to the islands by the British ships. But one indigenous tribe set themselves apart from the rest due to how they chose to live their lives. In short, they rejected the arrival of the English and everyone else violently. They're called the Sentinelese, or Sentinelle, and they live on the appropriately named North Sentinel Island. Their homeland is only about 23 square miles in size, and lush with tropical forests. Dive into the waters off its shores and you'll be met with miles of beautiful coral reefs below the waves. Unfortunately, it's almost impossible to know the exact population size of the Sentinelle due to their isolated nature. However, estimates place their numbers somewhere between 50 and 200 people today. A British research ship passing by first documented the island's inhabitants in 1771, but it would be another 100 years before anyone would set foot on its beaches. An Indian merchant ship had run aground on a nearby reef, and the 106 passengers and crew made it to the island thanks to one of the lifeboats. They remained there for just over 2 days until they were attacked on the third. The captain made haste, rowing himself away from danger in the only lifeboat and leaving everyone else to be killed by the Sentinelle. After he was rescued several days later, he described his attackers in great detail, saying, "The wild were completely undressed," he said, "with short hair and nose painted red, and their arrows had a metal tip." It was believed that the native people had salvaged metal from other ships that had crashed or sunk in the waters off the coast. 30 years later, an Indian prisoner had been living in the penal colony on one of the other islands and managed to escape. He'd built a makeshift raft and floated the 50 miles to North Sentinel Island, thinking that he had gotten away scot-free. A recovery team found his body with arrows embedded all over it several days later. Nobody set foot on North Sentinel Island again after that. The Sentinelle did not adopt any modern technology brought over by the British or the Indians. What scraps they did use were only meant to reinforce their rudimentary weapons, such as bows and arrows and spears. Some anthropologists believe that they still live the only true paleo lifestyle on the planet to this day, and all their food comes from the island, including fruits and vegetables they pick themselves, as well as the fish and animals they hunt. They don't grow anything deliberately. They merely eat what freely grows on trees and in bushes around them. No one outside the tribe is capable of speaking or understanding their language either, and their manner of dress is limited. Men and women wear bark strings around their waists, but are otherwise naked. In 1991, an Indian anthropologist named Triluknath Pandit landed on the island with a team of researchers on a mission of peace. It was the first successful visit to the Sentinelle that didn't end in bloodshed. They welcomed Pandit, accepted his gifts, and allowed him to interact with the tribe unharmed. He was the only person to ever make friendly contact with the reclusive tribe, though. The British didn't believe that it could be done, but Pandit proved them wrong by showing them that great things could actually be achieved when colonization wasn't the goal. I hope you've enjoyed today's guided tour of the Cabinet of Curiosities. Subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts or learn more about the show by visiting curiositiespodcast.com. This show was created by me, Aaron Mankey, in partnership with How Stuff Works. I make another award-winning show called Lore, which is a podcast, book series, and television show. And you can learn all about it over at theworldoflore.com. And until next time, stay curious.